Got an issue you just can't fix?
On the fence about what direction you should take?
Been wrestling
with a situation that's out of control?
Let's take it out of the too hard basket.
This one's for anyone who sat on a bus or a train recently. It's from Margaret Ann, and she writes, "This morning I sat on the train, computer on my lap, feeling slightly edgy about an issue that had arisen at work the afternoon before. I opened the email and settled down to work through the points. Meanwhile, yes, we need to sort that out. Yes, I thought we would have wrapped that up by now," says the man behind me into his phone. "Yes, they were all meant to have transitioned by now. It will affect the other group too. Yes, it's a major problem. It's going to push it out, and we're going to have to extrapolate and interpolate and reallocate." Thought Margaret Ann. "Concentrate. Yes, it's concerning. In the short term, we need to establish the platform and assimilate them in. It's with legal. I can't get anything done. Yes, he's getting pretty edgy. Anyway, I have to go now." "Thank goodness," Margaret Ann thinks. And then, "I have to dial into another meeting. Yep, bye. Yes, can you hear me? It's John, can you hear me? Yes, I've got something to add there." So Margaret Ann goes on to ask, "Would it be appropriate for me to turn round to John and say, 'Gosh, sounds like you are just as busy at work as I am. Maybe you should have got into work earlier so you could attend a meeting on time. Do I have the right to be antsy about this? How should I have dealt with it? Why do we no longer respect the right of others to their personal headspace?'" So, does Margaret Ann have that right on public transport? To sort this out, we've got Anna Akia with us. She's a dance teacher. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Hilary.
And Rowan Barwick, who's a presenter at ABC Alice Springs. Hi, Rowan.
Nice to be here.
And both your phones are on silent. Ah. Anna, what's been your experience on buses and trains and trams lately?
Well, I used to be a depressed public servant, so I did a daily commute for a million years. And I've been out of the daily commute now for about 10 years. And pretty much every time I go on public transport now, I'm shocked by the degradation of modern society. Really, I'm shocked. People cleaning their fingernails, having loud meetings, plucking their eyebrows.
Applying nail polish.
Oh, brushing their hair and dropping the long hairs on your feet. I mean, I think it symbolises a general level of selfishness and oblivious. Maybe it's not always selfishness, just obliviousness to other people that I haven't seen for a long time. When I was catching the train, people used to just play Snake on their Nokia 3210 or listen to their iPods or read a book.
Wow.
It was a long time ago, my daily commute, but yeah, I'm really shocked about how loudly public everybody's being with their own stuff.
So apart from the moral decay aspect, which is obviously very important, I mean, John is clearly a very busy and important man. Should Margaret Ann take that into account?
Well, I think John needs a witness. And I think there's a thing now where maybe in the absence of a spiritual fulfillment or service to the community or whatever, we're getting our sort of modern sense of piety and righteousness from this heroic busyness. I'm so busy. Oh, it's literally the only time I can do it. Look how busy I am. And I think there's something with this loudness. It's same with personal conversations on the tram. I think people need a witness. Like if a meeting falls in a forest and no one was around to hear John have it, did it really happen?
So it's performative busyness.
I think so. I think it's it's a way of demonstrating some sort of modern virtue.
Wow.
There's something people seem to feel very heroic and valiant about their busyness.
Yeah.
And to be honest, most of it's nonsense. Doesn't matter if that meeting happened yesterday or today or tomorrow or in an hour. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter.
Ooh.
How urgent? Unless you're an emergency services responder, unless you're the Prime Minister, even he's not in a big hurry sometimes, unless you have a real emergency job, a fireman, where something's on fire, none of the other stuff, meetings, paperwork, none of it is that urgent.
The economy's crashing.
Yeah.
Rowan, what about you? Have you ever had an experience where the noise on a public transport has become an issue for you?
Oh, certainly. I haven't been much of a traveller on public transport for a while now. We don't have too many trains and buses in Alice Springs where I live now. But in the past, I certainly have. And I do sort of feel like at some point in my life, I may have been John, maybe. I don't think I've ever taken a big, loud sort of conference call, but I've certainly spoken too loud on the phone and spent too long talking on the phone in a public carriage, and I'm sure that everybody could hear the conversation. And most recently, I've been guilty in this, in the fact that I was rushing to the train with my three kids, and I just had them by myself that day. So we were rushing and rushing, and we got onto the train, and every single seat was taken, and they all had their backpacks on, and we're racing through and trying to find a seat, and finally we sat down. And with the relief, we'd spent all day travelling and finally we'd made it onto the train, and we all sat in our seats and went, this is going to be a great train trip, kids. We've all found a seat. And then before, I think possibly even before the train departed, somebody came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, just so you're aware, this is a quiet carriage. So you're not going to be able to make any noise. And she said, you might want to go and find somewhere else to sit. I said, there isn't anywhere else to sit. Why do you think we're sitting here with three little kids?
But, it was a life of Brian moment. I'm John and so is my family.
I know. It's terrible. But look, I agree with what Anna's saying there. It is the degradation of society. We have become so consumed with what's going on in our own heads and in our own devices. And I think also having all these earpieces now that aren't even connected to anything right in our ears, we just go completely into our own world and completely into our own bubble. And I do think that a lot of us have just lost any recognition that we're engaging in the broader world, or that somebody could even hear my phone call or the important business meeting that I must have on my way to work.
I'm finding it really interesting. There's this frank and robust discussion going on our Facebook page, and a lot of people are pointing out that Margaret Ann is doing work on the train. And the question has to be asked, if Margaret Ann is in a non-quiet carriage, should she expect some level of noise?
I don't know. That's weird. I think the fact that we have a quiet carriage at all should be questioned.
Really?
Yeah,
they should all be quiet.
No, they should all. They used to be quite quiet. I mean, Margaret Ann sending an email, so I don't think you could compare that to John's very public meetings. But yeah, I agree with Rowan. I think everybody's so screen focused and headphones on. And I notice this a lot with my dance classes. I teach mass dance events. At festivals, I'll have 500 people dancing, someone will be completely oblivious and just walk through the middle.
Yeah.
At great safety risk to themselves and others.
It's really dangerous, isn't it?
They have no idea. Yeah. They have no idea that they're disrupting hundreds of people who are concentrating and watching something that's live on the stage. They don't even look at me as if I'm a screen. I'm a human screen. And then we'll just stop, disrupt a whole horde of dancing people. Like, the obliviousness is really interesting to me. And I think Rowan's right. I think it's screen-based.
Is this John? Is he also saying, yes, I'll get back to you. Yep.
John's conference call.
That's right. I may have just walked into a dance event, but look, I think we can get legal onto that.
Yeah. Well, Rowan, if John does feel he needs to have a business meeting on public transport, is there a different way that he could go about that?
Yeah, there is. I think at times, as you said before, the busy life, we do get busy. We do schedule all our events back to back. And sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and take a conference call where you wouldn't normally take a conference call, or just make that important call. But there are ways around it. If he's sitting on a quiet carriage, of course he shouldn't be doing it. And those around him are very fair to chastise him and say, you need to move to a different carriage. If he's in the public carriage, he can do it by keeping his voice down. You'll note that some people actually have a real technique in dealing on their phone, and you can't hear them. They speak very, very quietly, and they have their phone right over their mouth. And I think if he must take it, that's an option. So do it, but do it very quietly.
They're doing ASIO sleeve whisperer.
I know, very sneaky.
Then you're going to think they're one of those undercover train cops.
I know, exactly. I know, which is cool. You know, there's also that public space, which I know you're not meant to travel in, but that public space between the carriages. If he must take a very loud call very quickly, he could just dash out there, do it in a couple of minutes, and then go and sit back down again so that he's not disrupting everybody around him. So there are certainly techniques, rather than talking at the top of his lungs, getting this information out.
Well, various people have said, you know, I mean, different people's trains are different in different states and designed differently, but people have said on the Facebook page, in France, the trains have that little space where you can pop out.
Yeah.
It's ideal design. And I have to ask you, what about poor old John? Maybe he's got some life circumstances that we don't know about. Should we give him the benefit of the doubt? He might have been taking care of someone at home and been delayed. He might have been managing the kids' lunches.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think in those cases, people are understanding. You know, if I hear someone
having... But we don't know. I mean, we look at John and we just judge him.
Well, according to Margaret Ann, he was definitely calling into meetings. So I think, you know, that's a bit different to got a life emergency. We've all done that. I have the unfortunate thing of having a voice that really cuts through. Even when I come in here to do the show, I have to stand further back than everybody else on the microphones. I can't do a meeting on the train because everyone could hear. But I think it's not about, I think for Margaret Ann and for everyone in society, I have a tried and true method, a great Australian saying for any kind of public situation of rudeness. There was a man on the train pressing his business on my arm.
The fingernail cleaners,
the loud meeting people. There's a great Australian saying, you don't have to go into the issues. It's very, no one likes confrontation. I don't, no one does. And you just go, are you right?
That works in every situation.
I have used this in 1,000,000,000 different situations and it works when people bump into you. Are you right?
Well, then Anna has front. Not be accused of being a shrinking violet, but yeah. I'm wondering, Rowan, what are some other ways to approach it? Do you have alternatives?
I'm just definitely, from now on, just expect, you're right. I'm going to be bringing that
It works for
all the
everything.
Time.
And it doesn't invite a conversation. So you're not saying, I am judging your behaviour, please. You just go, are you right?
Yes. Yeah. You know? I do also think it's okay, as that lady said to me and my kids on the train all those years ago, that she came up and said, it's a quiet train. Can you please keep it down? I think it's okay if you are being really loud, or somebody on the train is being really loud, it's okay to say to them, could you keep it down, please? I don't think you need to have a go at them. I don't think you need to...
Go into
the specifics of exactly. She doesn't need to say, oh, I'm busy too. I'm not taking my work call, but you are and you're disrupting my work. I think it would get the message across just saying, would you mind keeping it down, please? And I think most people would respect that. And probably he might not even be aware that he's speaking so loudly because he's in that bubble.
And Rowan Barwick, if he does not respect that, what should Margaret Ann do? Bust out some train karaoke in competition?
Yes. I think that she should try and hack into his conference call and be a member as well and say, excuse me, I'd like to end this call now.
All's fair on a public transport carriage. Anna, what about you? You're squarely on the side of tackle John. He is the source of the problem.
I'm just on the side of, are you right? Because it reminds people that there are other people in society. Because we're all focused in our own stuff, you forget there's people around sometimes. You're looking in your phone and go, ooh, someone's right there. So are you right? Just for any situation, are you right? Reminds them that you're there, that you can hear them, that we're all together.
Can we
stem
this tide, though? I mean, the Nokia 3210 and Snake have died.
This is the problem. I mean, remember when we used to think, oh, wow, you can dial into work from home and we've got laptops and weak emails and Blackberries and cool. We thought it would make our lives easier. It doesn't. It just means we have to do more meaningless admin 24 hours a day. So turn your phone off. Don't worry about it, John.
Yeah, we're doing him a favour.
Yeah, tell him you'll get there later and you'll do the meeting later. No one cares.
I would like to give John the benefit of the doubt and say he's rushing into work so he can finish work early so that he can go and see his sick kid in hospital.
Rowan, you're such a nice man.
If we're all a bit more civil and all a bit more gracious, and if she's just able to say to him, please just be quiet, I think he would get the message. Or... are you right?
Are you right?
And if all else fails, karaoke. I think we're all on the same page.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much, Anna Akia and Rowan Barwick, for tidily wrapping this up for us.
Thank you.
Got to go to a conference call.
I'm so busy.
This has been Me too. Too I'm Hard so Basket busy. On Life Matters on Radio National. And if you have an issue that's in your Too Hard Basket, email us because we could possibly help. Lifematters@abc.net.au, or you can send us a private message on Facebook too.